Reformed Church.
You know, so there is something that I've been thinking about quite a bit within the last several days. And it's been seeing how we identify with doing what we don't want to do or doing what we want to do. And how it is that we identify specifically, you know, we're talking about the things that the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans 7, and then he goes into Romans chapter 8. But in Romans chapter 7, he begins to talk about feeling powerless, feeling impotent, and doing the very things that he didn't want to do. And then we do see then in Galatians chapter 2 and Galatians chapter 5, being able to do the things that we want to do, right? Being well able to do it, right? And the way I kind of put it is, I wrote it down here, I said, agreeing with the good and not able to do it, and agreeing with the good and well able to do it, right? So those are two separate things. Agreeing with that which is good, which is everything that comes from God, the things that the Lord speaks to us, right? Even with the law, right? The law is good. And even when the Lord talks about all of the fruits that are of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faith, and gentleness, and temperance, all of those things are good. And we agree, you know, when we talk about people that love the Lord, when we talk about people that are saved, that have the Spirit of God, we are people. This is something that we definitely have in common, that we agree with that which is good, right? We agree that it is a good thing to see your loved ones healed, to see your body made well. We agree that it is good to cast out devils. We agree that it is good to see the dead raised to life again. So we agree with all of these things, but yet sometimes we don't see ourselves, even though we agree with it, either we don't see ourselves with the power today to be able to see those things manifest or see them come to pass, or we find ourselves identifying way too much with Romans chapter 7, where he talks about the fact that the very thing that he agrees that is good, that's the very thing that you feel that people feel helpless in falling into repeatedly and doing and performing in their lives. And what I want to show you is that in both cases, whether it's an unsaved person agreeing with certain things that are good and doing the exact opposite, or whether it be with a saved person being able to agree with what is good and seeing it play out in their lives, seeing it manifest in their lives, both of those things really come from what we could call death and rest, right? Using those words synonymously there. And I'll get to that. But ultimately, what I think really the punchline of this message is gonna be is that the reason why the Lord has done the things the way that he did them for us, right? The reason why things had to be done through the cross, through Jesus Christ, and the reason why he's come to dwell and live on the inside of us is really so that the power for us to be fruitful people in the sense of being able to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, being able to see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faith and gentleness and temperance, and being able to see, you know, by the power of God, being able to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to see those that are not well to be made well, to see prosperity in our lives, that in order for that to be able to happen, the power had to be of God and not of us, right? The reason why we were at one point in our lives helpless against sin, where we were living under a law of sin and of death, was because of the limits of human power, right? The limit of human ability. But the Lord made it so that he said it the way it has to be that the power must be of me and not of them, right? The power had to be of God and not of us. And that's really 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse number 7 says that we have this treasure in earthen vessel. In other words, we have been given the Spirit of God. God has come to dwell on the inside of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And it's really through that reality. It's really through the fact that we have the power of God in us. We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. That is how we're able to live out that second truth, right? Agreeing with what is good, agreeing with God and everything that He says that is ours and that we have, and being well able to see it come to pass, being well able to do it, because the power had to be of God and not of us. And that's really why what we'll see, why Galatians 2:20 says that it's no longer, right? And I'll read it to you. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, right? The power could not be of men. It had to be of us. The result had to come through death or rest, right? You being used synonymously there. So it couldn't be of us. So it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. So that takes us out of the equation, right? It's no longer I who live. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. And then he says, but it's Christ that lives in me. There's that treasure in earthen vessels, right? It's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by what? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So there it gives you then, the formula, right? For lack of a better word, that says that really living for us is by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ that has enabled us to be able to have the Spirit on the inside of us. And through the growing knowledge, right? The growing knowledge of what we have in Christ, what we see more and more being played out in our lives is that which we agree that is good, that which God says that is ours, we see that play out more and more in our lives effortlessly. Why? Because more and more what happens is that the power becomes of God and not of us, right? Where things begin to go sour or things begin to go south is when we begin to live as Christians, living the power being of us and not of God, right? Forgetting who we are in Christ, forgetting that we are called what? The body of Christ, right? We're called the body of Christ. So the working and the power of the body of Christ should be, you guessed it, right? It should be of Christ, right? So let's go. And let's take a look, Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4. It says, therefore, my brethren, and this is New King James Version, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. So there is a fruitfulness, right, that is according to godliness. There is a fruitfulness that is according to God, right? And that's how the Lord desires us to be able to live, that our fruitfulness will be unto God, right? For when we were in the flesh, and that is an awesome statement to help us understand that we're no longer in the flesh, right? And we'll see that in a second. But it says that when we were in the flesh, past tense, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death, right? So there was a fruitfulness unto death, right? That came at a time in our lives when we didn't have the Spirit of God. We didn't have the power of God in us. The power could not be of God on the inside of us, right? Because we didn't have God in us. So the power had to be of us. But when the power was of us, what we found is that the more, even though we agreed with things that were good, right, we actually ended up doing the exact opposite. That's because we were living under a law of sin and of death. And at that time, right, the more and more that we tried to do that which was right, the more and more that sinful passions were aroused in us, and we actually ended up doing the exact opposite of that. Now, again, if people that love the Lord and that have the Spirit of God sometimes identify with that sounds a bit too familiar, right? That if you were to hear me say that the very things that you don't want to do or the things that you do, the only reason why that would sound familiar to you is because of lack of knowledge of what we have in Christ, right? Because if we were growing steadily in our knowledge of Christ, we would see that less, we would see that less and less a reality, that the thing that you agreed with was that you ended up doing the exact opposite. Because the more and more that you grow in the knowledge of Christ, the more and more that we begin to do this thing that we'll see in Galatians, which is called walking in the Spirit, right? The more that you walk in the Spirit, the more that you don't fulfill the desires of the flesh, right? So you no longer need to be flesh ruled, right? Because we are the who reigns on the inside of us is the Spirit of God, right? But the only reason why we would, any time in our lives that we would be like that would sound a bit too familiar to us, right? That the very things that we don't want to do are the things that we do. It's just because of just carnal thinking. It's just a renewal of the mind that has to happen. And the more and more that your mind is renewed, the less and less that you will find yourself agreeable with that statement that the very things you don't want to do, you do. Instead, it'll be the opposite. The very thing you want to do is the very thing you're well able to do, right? That'll be the end of that. So in verse number 6, he says, but now we have been delivered, right? So we used to live in a time, verse number 5 is talking about when we were in the flesh and the simple passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members, were at work in our body to bear fruit to death. But now it says we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve and we should live and we should walk, right? And we should serve God in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter, right? So now today, we're not living by a law that requires work of our flesh that actually just makes us end up just being even more sinful, right? Because any reliance, obviously, upon the flesh will disappoint time and time again, right? The flesh is not able to. So therefore, that's why Christ did. But now we have a spirit where it says that's how we should serve in newness of the spirit. That's how we should walk in the spirit, right, and not in the flesh. And that's what verse number 6 is about. And then verse number 7 of Romans 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, it says, listen to this, listen to verse number 8. But sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So there is talking about arrest, right, that we were given by sin, right, by the law of sin and death. In other words, sin took opportunity. So even though we would agree with the law that it is good, he's going to say it in a second, it wasn't us, right, but it was sin in us. So in other words, we were given a rest or an inactivity where we could not do what we willed to do, right? So we agreed with good, and the very good that we agreed with, we were not able to do because of sin, right? So he said in verse number 10, it says, and the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. Right? Let's. So let me bring you, if we can jump down a little bit. Let's jump down to verse number 15, okay? Romans 7:15. For what I am doing, I do not understand, right? So this is prior to us being saved. This is prior to us having the Spirit of God. This is prior to us being able to say that the power could be of God and not of us, right? This is prior to that. This is an unsaved state, right? For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, right? What I want to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do, right? That's a dilemma, right? Verse 16 says, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. I agree with the law that it is good, right? So when without the Spirit of God, we can agree with the law that it is good. We can agree that murdering is not good. We can agree that coveting is not good. We can agree that honoring our father and mother is good. But regardless of our agreement with those things, what we will find is an inability to be able to do it, right? Because the power cannot be of men, right? The power cannot be of men because actually that's the actual weakness of the law, right? So the power needed to be of God, right? That's a point that I'm going to keep making. So verse number 17, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So here's what I want to bring you, kind of do a little comparison. Listen to Romans 7:16 and 17 again. Romans 7:16 and 17. It says, if then I do what I will not to do. I agree with the law that it is good, but it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me, right? So there, that's kind of like almost like having an out-of-body experience, right? Like that's, you want to do good, but there's a different law at work in your body, which actually the Bible also calls the body also the body of death, right? In this scenario, in an unsaved person's life, where you want to do that which is good, but you cannot, right? You cannot. And then compare that, right, where he says in verse number 17, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me, right? Not I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Compare that to Galatians 2:20, which says, I've been crucified with Christ. There's that death again, right? First death by sin, but here it's death by the Spirit of God, right? First it's rest by sin, but here it's rest by the Spirit of God. And he said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me, right? There is the power of God and not of men. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you see in both instances, you see in one, the fact that you agree with that which is good, but an inability to do it. Then in Galatians 2:20, you see the same agreement with what is good, but now you see that you're well able to do it. Why? Because the power is of God and not of men, right? When the power is of God, with God all things are possible. With men, Jesus said, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible, right? Why? Because the power is of God and not of men. Just an important point to keep making there, right? The power of God and not of men. If we take a look at Galatians, right? Galatians chapter 5. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, listen, for the flesh lusts or desires, right? Against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, right? So that you do not do the things that you wish. Let's actually, real quick, let's switch to a King James version there for verse 16 and 17. So this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would, right? So again, this is just a really good explanation about how the desires that are of the body are contrary to the desires of the Spirit of God. And that as long as we live carnally, let's say it like that, as long as we live carnally, we will not be able to do that which we want to do, right? When you live carnally as an unsaved person, or when you're thinking carnally as a saved individual, right? That means that we're not walking by the Spirit of God. Even though we have life by the Spirit of God, right? We may touch on that, I'm not sure, right? Even though we have life by the Spirit of God, right? We are no longer in the flesh, but we are alive by the Spirit today. Even though we have life by the Spirit of God, we're not walking by the Spirit. So there's a difference between having the life of the Spirit of God on the inside of you and having been made a new creation and have new life versus walking in what you've been given, right? And that's what it really means to not only live by the Spirit of God, but also to walk by the Spirit, right? And walking in the Spirit of God is that the power is of God and not of men. Walking in the Spirit of God is when the power is of God and not of men. And in order to walk, right, that way, to walk so that the power in your life is of God and not of men, we need to continue to renew our minds so that we can understand Galatians 2:20. It's a verse that's widely used but not widely understood, right? That it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. The understanding of what that means, that it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me, is so that that gets played out in your life, right? So that you see that living is not you, but it's Christ. So that you see that living is about the power being of God and not being of you, that living for you becomes living by faith. It becomes listening to the Lord. It becomes growing in the knowledge of God so that you end up seeing that play out in your life, that the very things that you do agree with, that you see, that you agree with raising the dead, that you agree with casting out devils, that you agree with laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, that you agree with seeing in abundance love and joy and peace in your life and peace in your mind, that you agree with temperance, the Spirit of God being your temperance in your life, right? Being able to temper every emotion, being able to temper, right, every reaction, right? All of those things are truths that we have on the inside of us. These are things that we possess, but they don't are not played out, right? Just because the only thing that's missing is the renewal of our mind. We tend sometimes to think many times as people who cannot help but to sin, even though that's not our actual reality. That's not really where we live, even though that's how many Christians think, unfortunately, that in this life, in this carnal existence, that we even though we're living in a body, we are kind of subject to sin, that we're kind of subject to temptation, that we're subject to give into things but have not seen the victory that we actually have in Jesus Christ, right? That's what the Lord wants to teach us by His Spirit so we can see that. In verse number, we read through 17. In verse number 18, it says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So it's just really good. He shows how in verse 16 and 17, how He encourages us to walk in the Spirit. And He says, if you do that, if you walk in the Spirit, if you walk in the power of God and not in your own strength, right? If you walk in the power of God, not in your own power, if you walk in the strength of God and not in your own strength, right? What you'll see play out in your life is that you won't be fulfilling any desires of the body, right? Because what you're beginning to do is you're beginning by the Spirit to put to death or to mortify, I think the King James Version says, to put to death the deeds of the body. So living becomes this thing where you really begin to understand when the Lord says, you know, and I'll read the verse to you quickly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 13, and maybe we'll read it again at the end of the service, but where He says, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. It says, now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. The body, He says there, this body, right, it says it's for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body, right? You really understand, He came to dwell and live on the inside of us, and He said, I did that so that the power would be of me and not of you, right? So that all things could be possible for you. So that all of these things that you agree with, that you see that are good, that I've been showing you, so that you can see all that played out in your life, right? That the Lord wants the power to be of Him so that you could live a life where everything is possible, right? Not limited by human intellect and not limited by leaning on our own understanding, but it really in all of our ways, constantly acknowledging the Lord, acknowledging the power that is in us, right? And seeing that truth play out, that the very thing that you agree with, you're well able to do, right? That the very thing you agree with, you're well able to do. That's kind of the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other spies, right, that went to spy out the land, that they were of a different spirit, right? They were of a different spirit. So they were thinking not according to the power of men like the other spies were thinking, but they were thinking according to the power of God. So that's why they said, we can go up and we can take this city, for we are well able to do it. What is it that they were seeing? They were not seeing the power of men. The other spies, they were seeing the power of men. They said we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and so we were also in our own sight. And I think it was quoted backwards. They said we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were also in theirs. But Joshua and Caleb were the exact opposite of that, right? They saw the same city, they saw the same land, they saw the same giants. But to them, they said, we can go up immediately. We are well able to take the land. They were living with the knowledge of God, where the other spies were living just with the knowledge of their own strength, right? With the knowledge of men, with the strength of men, right? Relying on their own understanding and not on the wisdom of God. So we were in Galatians. So let's go back if we can. Let's go back if we can and look at Romans chapter 7 again. Romans chapter 7, and let's look at verse number 21 again. 7:21, and actually we haven't read verse 21, so it's good to read it anyhow. But Romans 7 and verse number 21, this is again when when we used to live in the flesh, right? When we used to live as people without God, when we used to live as people that we could look inside of us, even though we wanted to do good, and we looked inside of us and all we would find would be impotence. All we would find is just our own strength, right? And it says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God. And sorry, you know what we're going to do? Verse 21, we're going to actually go to King James, New King James Version, because King James gets a little wordy here. So Romans 7:21, New King James. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. That's much better. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, right? In other words, in his heart, he was saying, I agree with the law of God, but I see another law in my members. I see another law in my body that's warring, that's contrary. It's against the law of my mind. It's against that which I agree with. So I agree with God that all of this is good, but I see something else working in my body that is contrary in every way to that which is good, right? And he says, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, to the law of sin, which is in my body. So he says in verse 24, what a wretched man, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who can deliver me from a body that is completely contrary to all the good that I can think of in my mind? Who can deliver me from this thing, right? That the very thing that I agree with, that I agree with God that is good. I agree with God that that's the way to live. I agree with God that all of those things are good and I want those things, and yet a body that wants to do the exact opposite, a body that craves and desires to do that which is contrary to us, right? He says, who can deliver us from this body of death, it's called, right? A body that with desires and passions, right, that always leads us to death, right? In verse number 25, Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in other words, what he says is there, I thank God that he found a way to be able to make it so this body that was the problem, right? This flesh that was the problem could be given rest, and that the power could be of God, right? He found a way to give me rest in my flesh, right? So that the power could be of God and not of men, right? Thanks be to God for that, he says. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 then, which is the very next chapter, and let's jump all the way down. We might as well just, I was going to go all the way down to verse number 9, but there's so much good between verse 1 and verse number 9. So let's look at verse number 1. He said, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So now it's no longer referring to us as people who are in the flesh, right? You don't hear the Lord ever describe us as people that are in the flesh, right? But it says, There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life. So now it's not just talking about the law of sin and death, but now it talks about for the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, right? He's making us aware of a law that is at work now in us that was not at work in us before. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it says, has made me free now from the law of sin and death. So Paul was crying out and saying, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? Who can deliver me from this law of sin and of death? Who can deliver me from this bondage, this law, right? This law, this bondage that says that, you know what, you're subject for all your existence, you're subject for all your life to sin and of death, and there's no way you're getting out of it, to now we have the Spirit of God in us, and we're subject now to this law of the Spirit of life in Christ, who says now that we have been set free from the law of sin and death, right? That's the reality of every single born-again believer, right? Verse number 3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, right? The law could not be successful because of the weakness of our flesh, who always wanted to do the exact opposite, like we were reading in Galatians 5. He says, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, right? So Jesus Christ in his body on the tree condemned our sin in his flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So by the Lord's death, right, he made us righteous. By the Lord's death, he made us able to be able to be made righteous, to be able to become vessels, to be able to receive the Spirit of God, right? By the death of Christ, right, he enabled us to be able to be vessels of righteousness. He enabled us to be able to be vessels that have this treasure in it, right? He treasures and having this treasure in earthen vessels, like we were reading before. It says in verse number 4 that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, he says. In verse number 5, he says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So there you see both things. There you see a discussion about mindfulness. There you see the difference between a born-again believer whose mind is being renewed on a regular basis and thinks by the Spirit of God and is thinking spiritually, let's say, versus thinking carnally, right? So you distinctly see the difference between the two. Being carnally minded is death. Being spiritually minded is life, and it is peace to us today, right? This is talking about present-day realities. It's not talking about a heaven to come. This is talking about today, right? To be carnally minded today is death. To be spiritually minded today is life and peace. We can live that way today, right? Life and peace. Verse number 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We already talked about that. We said that the desires of the body, carnal desires, are contrary and against the desires of the Spirit of God, which every Christian agrees with, right? Every desire of God, every Christian agrees with, because we agree with everything that's good and everything that's perfect that comes down to us from the Father of lights. We agree with everything that is of the Father. We agree. We agree with the ways of heaven. We agree with no death. We agree with no sickness. We agree with all the fruits of the Spirit. We agree with all of those things. And every Christian, regardless, every single Christian agrees with all those things and wants to see those things come to pass. What has duped us into thinking that it's not ours today is just bad doctrine, that all it seems to do is focus on carnal actions and carnal reactions instead of focusing on the good news of the gospel and everything that we have gotten through the cross, right? But he says then in verse number 7 again, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, which is not us, right? We're not in the flesh. You just saw before, we're in the Spirit. We are in Christ. If Christ lives in you, and he's going to actually say it right now, he says, but you are not in the flesh. Verse 8 again says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, which are those without faith. Right? Those that are in the flesh cannot please God, those that were without faith in Jesus. But verse number 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Right? So it says, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Verse number 10 says, and if Christ is in you, which is the reality of every single believer, Christ in us, right? He is our hope of glory. He is the one that lives on the inside of us. The Spirit of God has come in to live in us. And that is how the Father and the Son live in us. It's by their Holy Spirit, right? So verse number 10 says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse number 11 then says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, which is the Holy Spirit, right? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit. So what you see in starting up there, where we kind of entered into the middle of what we were just reading in verse number 9, it says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So everything that you read about in Scripture, you have to consider yourself and understand that you are someone who is in the Spirit and you're not in the flesh. So that means that if you're in the Spirit, that means you can walk in the Spirit. That means you live by the Spirit of God. That means that the fruit of the Spirit is to be produced in your life, right, and in my life. These are things that should be regular, ongoing realities in our life. These are things that we should be seeing regularly in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit, right? These are things that are realities for us, right? We are in the Spirit. We are not in the flesh, right? Verse number 5, I want to read to you just one more time out of verse Verse 5 from Romans chapter 7, Romans 7 and verse number 5. It says, for when we were in the flesh, that was past. When we were in the flesh, it says, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now, listen to the but now, right? Because the but now, it has a good contrast, right? But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. So now we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Right now we bear fruit unto God. Now we're able to see the fruit of the Spirit of Galatians chapter 5, which I want to read to you right now. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16 again. Galatians 5:16, he says, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. I say walk in the Spirit, you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you jump down to verse number 19, it says that the works of the flesh, it says, are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Those are all things that every born-again believer disagrees with, right? Every born-again believer disagrees, does not want to see these things in their life, doesn't want to see hatred. No believer wants to see hatred in their lives. No believer wants to see contentions and jealousy and outbursts of anger and selfish ambitions and dissensions and heresy and envy and drunkenness, right? None of those things does any believer agree with. But then it says in verse number 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit are these things, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. It's that those are all of the things that a believer wants to live in. And it says, and those, verse number 24 of Galatians 5 says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see the admonishment there? It says, if we already live by the Spirit, if we are alive by the Spirit of God, if we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, he's saying, let's walk that way then. Let's walk in this, right? In other words, all of the things that Jesus Christ prepared for us, all this good that Christ prepared for us to be able to walk in, he's saying, why don't we walk in this then? And he's not saying it that it would be of your power. That's not a command for you to do it, right? Because remember, the power is of God and not of men. He's just saying, in other words, and I think Pastor Mike mentioned this in a previous service, right? He's saying, enjoy it, right? He's saying, walk in it. Enjoy it. Go ahead and walk in that which you've been given. In other words, utilize, leverage in this life today what you have been given. Utilize it, walk in it, right? He said, if we live in the Spirit, which we do, he confirmed time and time again, right, in what we've been reading. He says, if we live in the Spirit, which we do, let's also then walk by the Spirit. Let's walk that way. And what's the result of walking in the Spirit? The result, the desires of the body, which are contrary to God, which you do not agree with, right? You won't be fulfilling that. Instead, you will be doing what you want to do. You will be doing what you agree is good, right? We all agree with God. Every born-again believer agrees with God that it's good. If you are not saved, right? If you are not saved, if you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, right? Then you also would agree that there are many things that you agree with that are good, that even though you agree with them being good, you find yourself falling into them repeatedly, time and time again, not able to do what you want to do, not able to do that which you agree is good, right? Christ died in order to be able to give you his power. Christ died to be able so that he could give you a life that you could not give yourself. So he could give you a power that you could not muster yourself. So he could give you the strength that you do not have so that he could give us everything that's his, right? So that we can walk in godliness, right? So that we could walk in the fruit of the Spirit, right? He died to give us all of those things. That's part of our inheritance, right? He died to give us all those things. In Colossians chapter 2, if we can go there. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 11. It says, in him, in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, listen, that is a mouthful there, but if we could just take this from what we just read there, that it was in Christ that we're able today, present day, right? We were able, right, to put off the body. It says put off the body of the sins in the flesh. It's the same thing that was being said before, where we were reading about the fact that we were able we were able to be freed from the law of sin and death, and now it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ that's at work on the inside of us, right? He's saying here that the circumcision that was made without hands, the circumcision that came through Jesus Christ, we were able to put off the body of the sins of the flesh. So even though in a believer's life, sometimes you that sounds a bit far too familiar to us, that the things that you want to do, right, you do not do, that you actually do that which is contrary to what you want to do, right? That's looking at things just circumstantially. That's just looking at things as they happen. But what I'm asking you to focus on, to allow the Lord to teach you, is not the things that you see in your present day, in your present day circumstances, but to be able to look at things for how they truly are, to be able to see yourself as a new creation that He's made you, and what it means to be made new. What has that done to the impotence that you had before, and what does it mean to be able to have the power of God residing on the inside of us? All of the stuff that we've been talking about, the fruit of the Spirit, that's all by the power of God. Raising the dead, that's by the power of God, right? Laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, that's by the power of God. Casting out devils, that's by the power of God. All of these things that we hear, all of these come and are manifest in our lives as we continually renew our mind, right? Romans 12 talks about that, right? Renewing our mind and being able to prove, to be able to show forth, right, that which is good, that which is pleasing, that which is perfect, that being able to see the good that we have on the inside of us. Instead of just talking about the good that's in Christ, being able to talk about the good that Christ has, being able to talk about that same good that's on the inside of us because Christ is in us, and being able to see how we can see that glory of God manifest in our lives by the renewing of our mind, right? By the renewing of our mind. In Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be wrapping up here. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 12, verse number 4 says, For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You know, Romans chapter 12, and the same way it's in Corinthians also, starts talking about how we are called the body of Christ, and how, you know, how the Lord works within His body, right? It's just a funny thing, like when you really think about it. We were reading before from Corinthians, how the body is the Lord and the Lord is for the body. And then how the church itself is called the body of Christ, and how we haven't really gotten to that place yet as the church of Jesus Christ that we can actually see what it means to be called like the body of Christ, right? In the body of Christ, Christ works, right? In the body of Christ, the power is of God and it's not of men, because it's not the body of men, it's the body of Christ. We, the church, are called the body of Christ. And it says that we're individually members of one another. And verse number 6 talks about having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. It talks about prophecy. It talks about faith and ministering and teaching and exhortation and giving with all liberality. And it talks about leading with diligence and showing mercy. You know, it talks about all of these things that, again, we all agree that are good. If we can see this together, right, that God is not asking the church, saying, here are all these good things, go and do them now that you're saved, because obviously then that's the same exact thing that the law was saying. The law was saying all these things are good, therefore do them. But today God is not saying these are all the things that are good, now go ahead and do it. Like, He's given us a mandate to work, right? Because that's the mandate of the law, right? For your flesh to work. But He's saying, this is all the good. I know that you agree with it, right? Let me do it. This is all the good. This is all the good that needs to be done. There's so much good that needs to be done. There is so much love, authentic, actual love, to be able to be shared with other people. There is so much peace that God wants us to have. There's so much joy that God wants us to be able to show forth and to possess ourselves, right? Experiencing joy, right? Not just have joy in us, but to be experienced, to experience real joy. These are all things that the Lord is saying. He's not showing them to you and then saying, go do them or go produce it. He's saying, they are fruits of my Spirit. He's saying, they're fruits of my Spirit. They're fruits of my Spirit. There is a fruit of the flesh, and there are fruits of the Spirit, right? And it is that fruit that we want. Both the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit come by by deadness, right? They come from rest. They come from inactivity. Before we were saved, we had inactivity where we could not do the things that we want to do, but it was our flesh. It was sin at work in us, right? Today, the very things that we agree with God that we want to do, keep agreeing with God, right? You will always agree with God that all those things are good, but instead of feeling powerless to bring to pass that love and that joy and that peace, instead of feeling powerless to bring to pass seeing the dead raised to life, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, casting out devils, instead of feeling intimidated by that, instead say, Lord, you have made it so that the power, Lord, is of you and not of me. Therefore, this life that I live, Lord, I will live it. Instead of living by trying to do that which is good, I will live it by faith in your Son who made it possible for the power to be of you and not of me so that these good things could be done, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, my God, for all of the things that you have continually taught us time and time again, for a rest that you want to see us walk in, the rest that we have been given, the rest that is ours. You want to see us walk in that rest, Lord. You want to see us walk in the Spirit. You want to see us walk in those things that are ours, you want to see us live, Lord, as the power being of you, Lord, and not of us. You want to see those things play out that way in our lives, to be able to live in such a way, Lord, to be able to live in such a way, Lord, where it is you working and not us, where the things that need to be done, the things that we agree with, Lord, we are well able to do, to be able to live in our lives in such a way that we can say, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we want to encourage you just real quick here before we go. Want to encourage you, it's just so important to share the good news with people. You know, it's interesting how things today go viral on social media. Things that are just hilarious, right? Or things that are just very odd or very strange, how those things go viral. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to see the good news, right? The true good news that we're talking about, that we've been talking about today, and that you hear here at Reformed Church. Wouldn't it be awesome to see those things go viral, to see those things be shared across social media, you know, on a regular basis, to be able to share that with people. And then you know what? If people reject that, that's between them and God. That's not a rejection of you. That's a rejection of the gospel. But we just want to encourage you to do that, to be able to share the good news, share messages like this with people. If you go to reforminus.com, there, you know, you'll see our media page separated out by shorts and articles and quick reads and messages. So we want to encourage you to share those things. Share, you know, if you know somebody, you know, you think they can't take things in big doses, they need short little things, then share quick reads with them and share shorts with them that are short messages or short things to read. As people grow and you're sharing with them, right, maybe they're not attending church yet, but they're being accepting of what you're giving them after a little time, then start sharing with them things that are a little bit longer, right, things that you think that they'll listen to. But there is something on that website for everyone. I want to encourage also, right, believers, I want to encourage, obviously, you know, our own church members, but we want to encourage all you that listen on a regular basis also to check out always also our recommendations, right? Recommendations are something that are easy to share for people, but also great messages for you to be able to rehearse yourself. So keep listening, right? Keep listening, keep reading, be diligent about that, right? I was just reading that the other day. I forget the verse. I think it's in Timothy, but I'm not sure, where he says, you know, give yourself to reading scripture, right? Give yourself to reading these things. So I want to encourage you to give yourself to these things. Give yourself to reading scripture, listening to messages, you know, reading the quick reads that we have out there. Use to your advantage all those things that we make available to you free of charge. We love you, right? Be blessed.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.